is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
The aftermath of every social revolution brings about change. Cultural norms and landmarks shift as our minds and hearts expand beyond the familiar. To everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose in the land of the living. This is our time to renew, revive, and restore the hope lost to the busyness of life. This is our time to dig again and rebuild from the storms of our past on a solid footing that holds. Welcome to The Foundation.
The Foundation. 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 The Foundation. The Foundation. 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 The Foundation.
The Foundation of Hearts Grant is brought to you by Alive, Burger King, Commonwealth Bank, Doctors Hospital, Pinder Tile, Marco's Pizza, Prince Masters, and Ron's Electric Motors.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. 96.9 FM Radio, Howard Grant in your company, The Foundation, live in full effect. On this beautiful Monday, January 13, 2025, out here in the land of the living, you guys are amped up, ready to go. You got your sword, your shield, you gird up your loins, and you're ready to strike for 2 days. And then you come back and say, I'm not sure if I can strike. Come on, let's talk about these particular things. We're here. We're grateful to be able to do this. Today is going to be just a slight modification to these things. I didn't invite anybody to have a conversation with us today. But I do have two senators. Senator Barry Griffin is going to be here with us. And also Senator Randy Roll. I'm expecting them to be able to kind of step in any moment now to have a conversation about the Bahamas Trade Commission and being able to talk about those particular things. So we're going to have a good conversation and see how things are. So let me just shout out to my good, decent people over at AFS Insurance Agents and Brokers. They got everything laid out for you. Make sure you go and check them out. They're located number 407 Blue Hill Road, South. Go and check them out. The numbers are 341-1-AFS. Get your car insured. Find out all the variations of insurance you can be able to do, whether that is commercial, whether that's residential, and those particular things. So you want to be able to find out exactly what's what. And in that space, they're located number 407 Blue Hill Road South. So they can take very good care of you in those particular spaces. And make sure that you're comfortable as you're moving forward with the decision that you're making. They can be able to assist you with that. Ask for my good friend Etheric Bow or Mr. Richardson. They'd be more than happy to accommodate you in that kind of a space. Also, guys, I just want to say this to you. There is sort of a new approach that we've taken. Over the weekend, we had an opportunity to be able to go and visit a friend. I had an opportunity to be able to visit this person. Ian was talking about them for a very long time. Coco Plum Wellness Bahamas. Can I say this to you? Coco Plum Wellness Bahamas. My wife and I actually had to go down there, I suppose, after all the Christmas dinner and all the ham and all these particular, not me, because you know I don't eat this, but I'm not calling nobody's name, as we go down there to ensure that we can now declutter and find ourselves free of the toxins, free of these particular things, and free of the congestion that exists in you. You want to be able to go down to Coco Plum Wellness. Now, I don't know. I know a lot of persons don't necessarily take this into consideration. They don't think about these things. They say, well, just try, drink some bitters, baby. It can wash you out. It can clean you out. No. I think it's important that all of the sickness that invades our body, that causes us to be in sort of a crippling effect, that finds itself escalating as it relates to pain, and we don't know necessarily how to be able to deal with this. These are issues that arise from the gut. And it's very important that we get that thing cleaned out properly. I want you guys to go down there to Coco Plum Wellness, CocoPlumWellnessBahamas.com, CocoPlumWellnessBahamas.com. You can be able to go there, check it out, and find exactly what you want to be able to make a booking. It is absolutely affordable. And you know, sometimes you find yourself in this kind of position trying to figure out whether or not it's affordable. Can I afford it? Listen, man, you ate that steak and you ate them all those lobster and shrimp and all these things like that at a hefty amount. It's time for you to be able to keep yourself clean. If you feel yourself dragging, if you feel yourself slow, if you don't feel yourself almost like brain fog and you can't be able to, you're not alert, you're not sharp, you're not quick, you want to be able to go and get this thing done. We're going to be talking about this, going straight forward and being able to talk about it. They're getting themselves prepared to move into a new space out west. So they're going to be able to assist you in the east and in the west. And guess what? Every Monday and every Friday, you can get 25% off when you hit them up, CocoPlumWellnessBahamas.com, and just let them know that you heard the information here on the foundation. And every 25th of the month, the calendars are open up right now, you get 50% off. You find yourself on this particular machine. It's not one of those invasive stuff. It is very good. It actually gives you fresh water, clear water that goes up within your intestines and kind of being able to rinse that out gently so you don't have anything invasive. You've taken those colon cleansers and those other stuff like that. This is not that. And it gives you an opportunity. You can go back for sessions and you could find your health being able to increase drastically and see the difference in your body, your mind, even your breath. I just want to be decent. Even your breath. If the back of your neck is a little bit dark, on your eyes a little bit dark, your eyes brown, talk to me. Just want to be decent. As your eyes brown, you may be full of mess. Go down there to Coco Plum Wellness and get yourself taken care of. You can be able to give them a call. The number is, I think it's 455-8111. Or 445. Let's see if we can be able to get that and give that to you so you can be able to go there and get that thing taken care of. You got to do this for yourself. This isn't for anyone else. You got to do this for yourself. And let's be able to find this thing out and find out how we can be able to ensure that in 2025, we can be able to see ourselves strong and capable and being able to do these things. 445-8111. 445-8111. Coco Plum. Wellness Bahamas. They got everything available. Guys, make sure you pick up the Guardian newspaper. All the information's in there. TUC unions to strike. Two-day action starts today. The voice note that went around, it says, in the morning, we will demonstrate that we have had enough and the powers that be will feel the might of the workers. Come on, man. I mean, I just want to be decent. Obi, you need to stop. Let's go talk about these particular things. Guys, make sure you pick up the Guardian newspaper. All the information's around there. Prime Minister, unlawful strike will hurt the Bahamas. I agree with the Prime Minister. Let's talk about these particular things. You see, Minister P is in the papers also being able to talk about that. So the strike would undermine the progress with the unions and the unions, the steps that they've actually made. Also, the government will lose $30 million in revenue due to VAT food cut. So we're going to talk about that a little bit today. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to be able to introduce you to my guests. Good friends of mine. They've been on different platforms with me before. So this is the first time they sat here in this particular space. And I'm grateful to be able to have them. That's Senator Barry Griffin here with us, being able to talk about these things. And Senator Randy Rhodes. Say good afternoon, gentlemen.
Good afternoon. Thank you for having us today.
Man, it's wonderful to have you on, man. I didn't know if you was coming no more. I know all these strike actions. Anyway, praise God. It's good to see y'all. It's very good to see y'all.
It's good to see you. Good to see you. Still have your humor and your
I
jokes.
I can't leave it. I'm right here.
As you said, we were with you on another platform before, so this is my first time with you having me here.
But don't be a stranger, because this is the year that you got to come back with me more and more and more.
No, man. You know.
You notice the time.
Yes. And I think I can speak for both of us. We're ready and available when whenever you would have us.
I'd like that. So talk to us about this now. Let them know exactly what we're going to be. Senator Randy, did you have a good afternoon?
Most definitely. Okay, good afternoon to you, Howard. It's good to be back. And again, join with my colleague, Senator Barry Griffin. And of course, good afternoon to the entire Bahamas. It's always a pleasure to be on Guardian Radio and to be a source of information for
you've been
the
working
Bahamian
hard.
Consumer.
You've been working
we
hard.
We all have... Howard, you know, our job is to...
Speak for yourself, eh?
Yeah.
don't get in other people's business, eh?
No, man.
Don't take nobody else's next.
No.
The mandate is to safeguard the interests of consumers, and we've just been doing our best.
So tell me about this, the commission. Tell me about the concept and the idea of where this came from and sort of the urgency of why we need to be able to make this thing happen as we move forward. Talk to me about it.
Yep. So we're here largely talking about the government's economic agenda as a whole, and both Senator Randy Rohl and myself, the roles that we hold, will play an important part in the Prime Minister's economic agenda. But I'm chairman of the Bahamas Trade Commission. A lot of people say it's the first time that they're really hearing about the Trade Commission in earnest, but this isn't a new commission. So the Bahamas Trade Commission is essentially the body that is tasked with speaking and communicating with the private sector and liaising with the government as it relates to anything involving business and trade. And so we really are a one-stop shop for everything related to trade in the Bahamas. And so this government in particular, we've taken a keen focus on trade because primarily of the escalating cost of living. So I tell people, we all live in this Bahama land. We all see prices increasing on absolutely everything. And so because of that, one of the government's key focus is decreasing the cost of living of goods and services in the Bahamas. And so the Bahamas Trade Commission has taken a keen focus on that by doing a multitude of things. One, ensuring that we continue our great trading relationships with partners across the world, not just the United States, but also Canada, the United Kingdom, African countries, countries in the Caribbean and Latin America. Two, taking advantage of those advantageous relationships through a program that we're calling the National Trade Diversification Program. And so currently, we import the vast majority of everything in the Bahamas from the United States. And not just that, we import them from a small number of suppliers in Florida. And so there's very little diversity in terms of where we get our products from, where we source them from. And as such, there's very little competition on price, very little competition on variety. And so we're going to be focusing on diversifying that trade so that consumers in the Bahamas have more of a choice in terms of what they purchase, have more of flexibility and variety in terms of cost. We're also focusing on a number of other initiatives such as price transparency in the country. The government is going to launch a price comparison app, which will allow any Bahamian to compare prices across goods and services across the Bahamas. So you wouldn't have to walk into, you know, 10 different stores simply to look at the price of, you know, a can of tuna, for example. And the other thing the Trade Commission is now focusing on is competition. So we're one of the only countries in this region and this hemisphere, really, that doesn't have robust competition laws. So in the U.S., it's called antitrust laws, and in most of the rest of the world, it's called competition laws. And so essentially competition laws that would inhibit, you know, companies that have a large dominance in the marketplace from unduly taking advantage of that dominance, you know, stop monopolistic practices, you know, encourage price transparency, and just encourage, you know, innovation within various sectors within the country. Again, all with the view of decreasing costs for Bahamians and giving Bahamians more information so that they have, you know, better options and more information in where they spend their money.
I want to ask you this question. I think from a rudimentary standpoint, from a basic standpoint, when we get right down to the core, I think the average person, as they look at this, without being able to have insight to exactly what we're trading, there's always this tangibility, this transparency, this reciprocity that we get something, you give something. We get something, you give something, as it relates to trade. But knowing that our industries are tourism, knowing that our major industries, tourism, banking, fishery, mm-hmm. we'd like to know what are some of the negotiations that you're doing? What are some of the trades that you could be able to identify to those listening audience that you say that this is what we've been doing? If you don't know exactly what the Bahamas Trade Commission is all about, these are the things that go on in these particular steads, and give the examples for that. Go ahead.
So in terms of that specific question, so tourism and financial services are our main industries, and we have, you know, government ministries that largely deal with both of those. However, anything in terms of business, is considered trade. The bartering of goods and services, the selling and purchasing of goods and services, all of that is trade. And so we have robust trade in tourism, and we have robust trade in financial services. But absolutely every single thing else that we sell or buy in this country is considered trade. And they're all governed by international trade agreements. So, for example, the Bahamas is part of an economic partnership agreement with the EU, also one with the UK. We also are part of trade agreements with CARICOM. The Caribbean Basin Initiative is CARICOM's large trade agreement with the United States, for example. And so all of these things govern how you can get, you know, your corned beef from Brazil or from the United States, how they can be shipped to the country, what packaging they have to be in, what information needs to be on them, and what the cost of those goods are. And so what we're doing is we're focusing on those trade agreements to make sure that Bahamian companies take advantage of the agreements we were in. For example, a study was done a few years ago, and the Bahamas is one of the countries that is, you know, taking least advantage of our trade agreements with the European Union and the United Kingdom. Bahamians don't know that there are concessions for Bahamian companies for goods and services entering the European and the British market, for example. So we want to educate entrepreneurs about this, businesses about this, so that, you know, it's not just these countries selling to us, but it's also us selling to the world. But with that, I also want to introduce what Senator Randy Rohl is working on. So Senator Randy Rohl represents the Consumer Protection Commission. And so in all of this, the government wants to make sure that the consumer is protected. And so while, you know, we're encouraging companies to take advantage.
Is that a division of price control?
Yeah, well, it all falls under consumer affairs. And so it is a part of price control. Actually, price control is run by Rex Hadley at the time. But again, we're brother and sister companies that are ministries that are working hand in hand in one. So the collaboration between us and other agencies, regulatory bodies, are very important at this particular time because we just want to safeguard the interests of all consumers.
I want to get into a deep conversation with you guys. I want to talk about most recently the reduction of what we've seen or the pronouncement of what we can expect by April 1st as it relates to the reduction for food items in the supermarkets to 5% VAT. A lot of persons are indifferent. I think that we've gotten this kind of mixed reaction from persons. I've commended the Prime Minister for being able to present empathy and step into a direction to be able to do these things. I did that Thursday. All weekend, people was cussing me. Oh, how would it be? You must have guessed up on me. As though this kind of an idea that no matter if it's good or if it's bad or whatever the case may be, at this juncture, because of the rise of the cost of living and all these particular things that's happening here, I think people are skeptical of how things are. So I'd like to talk about that. And the second thing I'd like to be able to have this kind of a conversation with you is this sort of an idea that happens with the Price Commission and these particular things. If you're talking about a lot of things in Nassau, because of the competition that exists here, you can see a reduced price. But when you go to Abaco, when you go to the Grand Bahama, when you go to Andres, when you go to Mangrove Key, when you go to Long Island, Jesus, there ain't no competition there. You got to pay it if you want it. That's it. Is this going to span beyond the concentration of where these 23, 24 seats are at Nassau into the family of islands so we can be able to feel a holistic effect and being able to do those things? When we get back, we can have those kind of a conversation. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm sitting here with none other than Senator Barry Griffin and Senator Randy Rohl talking to us about the Price Commission. Quick commercial break. Going to be right back after this.
Foundation.
For fast, reliable, and impactful printing services, look no further. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality products that is second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Everything is bigger and better at Burger King Nassau. When you have a big appetite, BK has a royal deal for you. Get a flame grilled double Big King Jr. or an original chicken sandwich, plus four chicken nuggets, small fries, a drink, and a fresh baked cookie for only $9.95, including VAT. The royal deal was built for a big appetite. And at $9.95, including VAT, it's a steal of a deal. Go big and enjoy the BK flavors you love with the $9.95 Royal Deal at Burger King Nassau.
The foundation.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM radio. Howard Grant in your company, the foundation live and in full effect on this beautiful Monday afternoon. Just being able to talk about some of the issues that are concerning for us. If you're talking about living and you will get down to the meat and potatoes and to the nook and cranny of these particular things, you're talking about the Bahamas Trade Commission. You're talking about how do we ensure that there's longevity, how there's relationship, how there's sustainability in these particular relationships to ensure that persons can access these things. And like we said, not just locally here in the city of Nassau, but that these particular opportunities and a sense of consistency can be able to exist throughout the Bahamaland. So Senator Barry Griffin is here with us and Senator Randy Rowe being able to talk about that. Now, Senator Griffin, you represent the Bahamas Trade Commission. And Senator Rowe, you represent, what's your organization?
Consumer Protection.
Now, you're saying that there is a union, a fusing of these particular unions or ministries or divisions to ensure that you get to the greater objective. Talk to me about that objective.
Most certainly. Well, definitely under Consumer Affairs, and we're under the directorship of Senator the Honorable Michael Alkidis. And so all of it comes under what we want to do is we want to put some focused attention on different areas. We want to make sure that, I remember right before the break, Howard, you talked about being Nassau or everything, not just being focused on Nassau. Well, you know, this administration is not Nassau-centric. As you know, the Prime Minister, he represents a constituency in Kett Island. The Deputy Prime Minister, he represents the
Exumas. I don't think it's deliberate.
I
don't want to structure it as though that this is something that's deliberate, but the cost of living in the family of islands is just
definitely
more.
No, and I agree. And I can tell you that focus has been and focus will continue to be, and they raise this all the time. We want to make sure that no island is left out. And so I can tell you that already, you know, Rex Attlee and his team at Price Control have already visited Abaco last year and a couple of islands. We have a very aggressive schedule this year because we have been getting calls from the Abacos, from Grand Bahama, from Andras, Bimini, and these other islands. And so we're putting together a team that's going to go to each island, going to check the complaints that we would have gotten and received from various islands. And again, execute the system and the plan to make sure that no island is left out. Because this, it affects every single person. Hence the focus by the government to say, hey, listen, how can we help with the reduction or to make sure that Bahamians are now feeling it? How do we ensure that some of the savings that are passed down from the government is again passed down to the consumers? I can tell you that under the last PLP administration, tariffs were reduced as it relates to items. Under this, it was done again. So again, some things, and that's where our confusion comes in and why more public education is needed. Now, there are some things that's global that even though we can do our part, we don't have any effect on, for example, the price of eggs. And so with there being a bird flu and so many eggs dying throughout the world, that has driven the cost of eggs up. Again, if the consumer don't know this, the automatic thing is, hey, it's you're going to blame the government or you're going to blame SuperValu, you're going to blame whoever. And it's understandable because we're humans. So a part of what the Consumer Protection Unit does is we're here to educate the consumer on the various trends that's happening as it relates to consumers and how are we able to work together with our sister agencies to make sure that we make the price affordable for all Bahamians. And that's why myself and Senator Barry Griffin, we have decided that we're going to work closely with each other and come up with the plans because, again, consumers first for us. We want to make sure that everyone can feel every benefit that we're able to get for
them. And I got
to
commend you. I got to commend you for being able to take this step. But I think it's time for us to be able to just kind of loosen up our neckties and take the formality off.
Right.
Let's talk with transparency. Mm-hmm. Is it too little too late? There's questions about the Golden Yoke program. Mm-hmm. There's questions about this sort of an idea that we are thick in an election year. When we come out of the first quarter of this year, we're going to be thick into it. While this particular commission, the fusion of both commissions have been able to take on this kind of a steps to be able to educate people, people want to see transformation. Do you believe that you have the time to not only just educate, but simultaneously enact and see this thing on the ground making change now? Talk to me about it.
Yeah, so that's essentially what we're doing now. And before the break, I love the way you sort of posited what's happening in the economy right now, because some people would have you believe, or people would like to think, that it's one thing that the government can do that will make this transformation, when the reality is what's happening now is a complex mix of many things happening at once. And so what you'll see is people may feel like one particular announcement may not be enough. And that's not the idea. The idea isn't that one slash of VAT on food is going to save, you know, everybody and the cost of living is going to be cheaper. No, it's a complex mix of things that we're trying to have come together. And Senator Randy Roll and I are working on a number of those things. So, for example, the idea is that in the short term and for the immediate, a little ease of the burden is going to be lifted off consumers because we've slashed VAT on food by 50%. And so that is intended to be something that's very real, very tangible, that you can feel now. However, that's not going to change the very structural and complex problems that our economy has. And so that's why, at the same time of doing that, we're introducing competition law. Because as Senator Randy Roll and you have pointed out, there's very little competition in the Family Islands. And so that's a real structural problem that
not
needs
just
to
family
be addressed.
Islands now. Not just the Family
no,
Islands.
But I'm saying
monopolies consume this country.
And I'm using that for example. And so again, while we're slashing VAT, that's gonna have some burden. But again, I pointed this out to someone the other day. Eggs, for example, the last I checked it was $7.70. You slash VAT on that by 50%, you save a few cents. Even if you bring VAT down to 0% on that, eggs are still going to be over $7. And so again, that's a more structural issue where you have to, you know, analyze other things. Okay. And that goes across the spectrum of products. And so while slashing VAT does help, it's the actual high cost of the item itself that we need to address. And so competition is one way to do that. Again, price transparency. We've had consumers who've complained that, hey, I bought in today and the price is this price. I come tomorrow afternoon and the price is a different.
That's across the board, by the way. That's not only concentrated to food items.
No, and again, I didn't specify food items. I'm just saying.
I've been to the store this morning. I try and smell good. I've been to the store this morning. The box say one thing.
Yep.
The woman look at the system. She say, oh no.
That changed.
Almost $20 more. I said, miss.
Exactly.
Don't make me call Randy. Right?
Okay. No, but again, these are the things you do need to call consumer protection for. And so again, we're going to put more robust price things where, for example, again, because of the small size of our market, we do understand that in some industries, there are going to be fewer players just by the virtue of, you know, the businesses that are in the sector are going to have to survive and make a profit.
Yeah,
that's
but we,
fine.
As the consumer, are being taken advantage of.
And that's the point. So again, with these competition laws, businesses will not be able to abuse their dominance in the market. So you may be the only one or two or three companies that sell this, but that doesn't give you the right to mark up that product 300 and 500% during a time of crisis or during a time when you know people are going to need this product. And so these are the more sort of complex, what I call unsexy things that we need to do at the same time of slashing VAT, for example. And so again, these issues are complex, they're many, and I think the government is taking the first steps in, you know, bringing that transformation that Bahamians want to see.
I like that. I like this kind of an idea that you're making these incremental steps. Like I said, we are in the thick of an election year. And there's no two ways about this. We can't, as much as I try to tiptoe around this to have a formal conversation about a concentrated thing, there are listeners, there are people that are on edge. If you look at their papers, everyone knows that we are in an election year. And it seems as though they're trying to squeeze the cojones of the government to be able to move in one direction of their desires. Do as I say. Mm-hmm. And I believe that if they have you at the short and curlies, you need to be able to make a decision for sustainability. You need to be able to make a decision not just for the preservation of a government, but for the preservation and growth of a people. And so as I ask these particular questions, the questions that I have is that how is this going to ensure that it assists the Bahamas at large, no matter which divide we're on, to ensure that we're moving into? I didn't hear enough about the Golden Yoke Program. And I know that you're saying that you're working with Michael Halkidis and the Division of Finances and being able to be attached to that. But is there an attachment to the Ministry of Agriculture about the eggs? Let's say for eggs, for example, we've already started this particular thing. Are we going to revisit this? Mm-hmm. Are we going to go back to be able to find how we can get some chickens to be able to get these particular eggs? Is there a simultaneous concept whilst we're trying to reduce this now to find sustainability and growth in the future?
Yes. And so what I would say is I won't, you know, take on the task of speaking for the Ministry of Agriculture. But if you would have followed the news last week, you would have seen that there would have been announcements of sort of more focus and a reinvestment in the Golden Yoke program.
Yeah.
So that, you know, there's greater production on that side.
Yeah.
As it relates to the Bahamas Trade Commission, we're working very closely with BAIC to, for example, source more cost-effective chicken feed. One of the things that the farmers in the program and outside of the program complain about is that chicken feed is very expensive. And so the idea is that we not only want to produce the eggs, but when the eggs go to the market, we want them to compete on quality, but also on price. And so our program is helping BAIC to source more cost-effective inputs for farmers, not just those who produce chicken and eggs, but farmers across the spectrum who need to import the inputs for their produce. So we're assisting them with that.
I like this.
But again, this goes back to what I said before, that it's a complex mix of things that's happening. It's not just one thing that's going to bring this transformation, but it's going to be a myriad of things that, you know, we're all working on that will bring this transformation about. Essentially, we're trying to walk and chew gum at the same time.
Well, I think you could be able to do it, but I want to be able to talk about this. When we get back, I want to talk about this. Got to take a quick commercial break, ladies and gentlemen. When we get back, I want to talk about consumer protection. I want to talk about this sort of an idea more specifically that safeguards and provides refuge and provides an opportunity for persons not just to be able to like a comment box that is ever, you know, these comment boxes, it's enter your comments here and you keep stuff in the box. No one ever checks the box. No one ever does anything about this. I want to know whether or not there is elements in place to ensure that when we go and check this particular thing, as consumers come and say, hey, listen, I have a problem with this, man. I just bought a tuna over here for $3, mm-hmm. right? They're taking full advantage of me simply because they are a convenience store and mm-hmm. in the day is 90 cents. Mm-hmm. Talk to us about this particular significant price. And they want to see resolve. People want justice in these particular spaces. Guys, when we get back, we can talk a little bit more about that. We have Senator Randy Rowland and Senator Barry Griffin here with us, being able to talk about Bahamas Trade Commission and Commission Protection. We're going to be able to do that. Quick break. Be right back after this.
The Foundation.
The Foundation with Howard Grant. We'll be back right after this.
The Foundation. The Foundation.
Do you have uncontrollable debt? Are you ready to make that move to Fidelity for a stress-free future? These loans have a built-in savings plan that pays you unbeatable interest. Ask about our debt consolidation loans today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
I
peanut butter Pinda, and I meet him in his showroom. I say, Pinda, I just come out of a showroom in Portugal, and let me tell you something, them showroom and selection ain't got nothing on yours. Man, I like this stock of porcelain, this ceramic tile you got here. What I really like is the range of sizes that come in, 8x48, 12x24, 24x24, and what I really, really like, more than the things I really like, is the price. From $275 a square foot to $494 a square foot, and all in between, you can't beat that. Not even with a 2x4 from Enterprises.
Great news! Ron's Electric Motors' new location on Cowpen Road, right next to Island Luck, is open Saturdays and Sundays. So for those needing repairs on electric motors, generators, welding machines, water pumps, battery chargers, electric lifts, transformers, and power tools, Ron's Cowpen Road location can have you up and running on weekends. Don't forget, you can still visit Ron's Electric Motors on Wolf Road and Claridge Road, and now Ron's new location on Cowpen Road. Dial 356-0249 or 323-5255.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Foundation. The foundation. Foundation.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM radio. Howard Grant and your company, The Foundation, live and in full effect, still here and having a conversation, man. And I'm really appreciative for this, especially on the times off, to talk about this sort of an idea that says we need more. We don't just need a surface. We don't just need a superficial aspect. We don't just need the platitudes and being able to talk about these particular things. We need the emphasis. We need the application. We need the tangibility of these particular things. And we don't need this kind of a commission. We set up a grouping to be able to talk about this. We need action. And so I'm asking you about that. I'm asking guys, I'm sitting here with none other than Senator Barry Griffin and Senator Randy Rowe being able to talk to us about these things. And they're saying to me, I wanted to know about the consumer protection. I wanted to know about those things. And if simultaneously we look at from a political standpoint, we wanted to be able to see the teeth for the freedom of information. We want to see the teeth from an ombudsman. And so the same application or the same principles apply. We want to know whether or not the consumer protection has the teeth that we can get real justice in society. Talk to me about it.
All right. Thank you so much for your question, Howard. Well, in 2023, the government passed the Consumer Protection Bill, the updated bill. And what it did was it gave the commission the teeth it needed to be able to safeguard and protect the consumer from unsavory characters in terms of service, from goods and services. And so before, as where, you know, you weren't able to get real solutions to issues, I can tell you that the last year, the last 12 months or even more, has been very positive for consumers in terms of the commissions and the work of the commission in terms of getting some resolve for consumers out there. In 2023, for example, I can tell you that the commission was able to recover some over $117,000 for consumers. Now, we're still working on putting the numbers together for 2024, but I can tell you, based on the numbers of complaints that we would have received by the end of December, that's going to be significantly higher. And so we're going to continue to have an aggressive approach. Again, the purpose of the Consumer Protection Board, too, is to, again, educate also the public. And so we take every opportunity that we get to educate the consumers on what are your rights as a consumer. Again, one example is people, Bahamians, used to do a lot of online shopping or have some third party buying something and selling it to you. Well, we can tell you one of the examples is if I sell you something that I would have gotten from overseas, Howard, and it says 1 year guarantee warranty, then as a consumer, it's your right that warranty is passed on to you. I can't say to you, okay, well, I got it from Senator Griffin, so you'll have to go to him for it. If I'm the seller, then you're entitled to that. And so it's just the little things that we try to do to safeguard consumers. And based on that, we've been having a lot more calls. We've been having a lot more interactions where there are other agencies involved. We've been collaborating with the other agencies just to make sure that consumers can be, at the end of the day, feel satisfied that they're getting some redress as it relates to their matters. What we have also done was we would have prioritized the number of complaints that the commission would have received, where, like I said, when I first started out, the number one complaint was in courier services. Well, the number one is still courier services, but we've seen some significant results for Bahamian consumers who were looking at, you know, courier services.
Have you set a standard for this particular industry?
Pardon me?
Have you set a standard?
Again, that's ongoing, you know, but again, information is key. And based on the information that we have, mind you, like I said, we've taken a very aggressive approach. We've put some things in place, but it's ongoing because as things change, we want to adjust our strategies to make sure that, again, the consumer are the ones to benefit. The good thing about it, though, Howard, is people now know that we exist. You know, now you say, okay, it's election year. Really and truly, we're a year, more than a year and a half out from election.
You bought another percent.
But I've just moved in. You know, the prime minister has just given me the task a couple of months ago in this area. And so, you know, what we would have done was hit the ground running. And we were going to continue to hit the ground running. And so I've not even taken a political approach, because this is national.
I like this.
Every single consumer out there, if they have an issue, it is our job to make sure that we find some sort of regress for them. And so we're going to bring in some more people. We're going to increase our investigations department. We're going to increase our compliance unit. And we're going to go after providers who want to take advantage of the everyday consumer out there.
Now, I want to talk to you in these last few minutes. I want to know this. The Prime Minister and the Minister of Foreign Affairs have taken on this kind of a very strong approach and being able to talk about the monopolies that exist and the monopolies that have been taking advantage of us in one way or another. And the Prime Minister, this sort of pronouncement that actually came forth that indicates that we're going to cut out the middleman. This concept and idea of a middleman that exists between us and China or us and America or us and wherever, being able to get these particular goods, hiking it up, and then being able to set it off to the Bahamian people, they're going to cut those particular things out. I want to know, just like in 2016 and 2017, when the PLP has taken on this kind of position to indicate that they will cut VAT. No, this was in 2016-17. This is a little bit after that. If you're going to cut VAT, right? And I wanted to talk to Halkidis about that. I want to know, how do you expect to cut out the middleman who is the provider for these particular things, who've done this for a long time, and the rhythm of government has set based upon the tone that the middleman has presented to the government? How are you going to be able to do that? I'm sure we don't have enough time to do that today.
No, let me speak about that sort of very briefly. One of the things when I talk about this issue, I sort of make the plain fact that everybody can see is that the world has changed.
Mm-hmm.
The Bahamian economy, as we sort of see it structured now, is based on an economy from the 1930s, 40s, 50s, 60s in the Bahamas.
Okay.
Many of these companies have existed for more than 50, 60, 70 years and have been doing the exact same thing in the exact same way.
Yes.
Now more than ever before, not just in the Bahamas, but in the world, the power is in the hands of the average person, the consumer.
This heavy.
Information is free-flowing in a way that it hasn't been before.
Mm-hmm.
So things are more transparent. Before, when we didn't know that the meat we buy in from the U.S. is coming from Brazil, we could track it and know that the meat is actually coming from Brazil and that if we buy it from Brazil directly, it's going to be 20% cheaper. And so this is information that we may not have had 20 or 30 years ago. But if the consumer is seeing this now, the consumer is now asking the government, why am I being forced to pay for this more expensive meat? If Jamaica could get meat directly from Brazil, why can't the Bahamas get meat directly from Brazil?
But we've always purchased from the middleman.
It's been passing the Bahamas to come back there.
But listen, the middleman knows this. The middleman, who is the private entity,
He has gone through America the same way. Why he didn't go straight to Brazil?
So let me The middleman, as we see it, is the American intermediary. And so we see the end goal is to get it to the Bahamian merchants cheaper. Now, many of the merchants have long sort of lasting relationships with their suppliers in the U.S., for example, that have existed for over 30 or 40 years. What the government is doing is setting a new regulatory environment.
This heavy what you're doing right here.
But listen,
this is the breaking up of the monopoly.
Well,
that's where it begins right there.
But let me show you this. This, I think, it even goes a little bit deeper than that. We are also putting the power in the hands of the consumer, because not only are we introducing the raw manufacturer or producer of these products to established Bahamian, you know, the large businesses, we're introducing them to the small businesses.
So you make this connection.
We make the connection. The smaller businesses are able to take advantage of these relationships.
I like this.
Even the Bahamian consumer is able to take advantage of this relationship. This isn't something information that we're hiding and giving to the privileged few. Literally, the producers of beef, pork, poultry, eggs that we meet in Brazil, Ecuador, Colombia, everywhere, we're providing this information to small businesses, large businesses, and Bahamian consumers alike, so that the power is in their hands to take advantage of. And that's where we say competition, because if the small man down the street is selling the meat 20% cheaper than you are, either you're going to have to match that price or you're going to lose customers to the store down the road.
I like this.
But we have to find a way, Howard.
I don't think you should be strangers.
Yeah, we have to find a way.
Don't be strangers.
To make sure that the consumers are the ones that benefit. Across the board. Who owns the warehouses in the U.S.? Who owns the shipping boats that bring it here? Who owns the, you know... We just got to find a way to make sure.
I like it. I like the steps that you're taking. I told you, I like these particular steps. My only question is whether or not it's too little, too late for this particular dispensation, not for the Bahamian people, but for the preservation of this particular mindset to exist in this space. We're going to continue to talk about that. Ladies and gentlemen, we're here with none other than Senator Barry Griffin and definitely Senator Randy Rule. I want to thank both of you for being able to sit with us and being able to talk about this. Like I said, I don't think you should be strangers as we go forward. Education, people yearn for this. They yearn for more information. They yearn for a government who aligns with their views and agrees with them and empathize with them. And so we'd like to be able
and
to
who
see
are consumers.
More of that. And who are consumers? They live here. It ain't like you live no place else. You're right here with
us.
That's
what I like to tell people. I don't shop at a different store than you. I want my prices down too.
I'm right here, right? All right, guys, I want to thank you so very kindly for being able to join us. We look forward to being able to have you and always accommodate you. There's a space for you to be able to do that. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take this quick commercial break, get to news, and be right back after this.
Foundation. The Foundation. We'll be back right after this. The Foundation. The
Foundation. This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM.
Foundation. The Foundation.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM radio. Howard Grant in your company, The Foundation, live and in full effect on this beautiful day. Grateful to be in your company to talk about these things. Always happy to kind of do this. We are here. I'm going to be wide open. I want to talk about a few things. We're still on this forgiveness tip. So throughout the week, you're going to be able to see some people come with me throughout the week and being able to talk about these things. So I'm excited about that. Today, I had to kind of put someone back because they made a call. They said they want to be able to come in here to talk about the Bahamas trade. So the Bahamas Trade Commission. So I'm grateful for that. Grateful to be able to have this kind of a conversation with them. Guys, if you want to call in, please do so. Since we're on the wicket of talking about these things, I'd love to be able to, continue in that vein. 323-6232, 325-55-4259. Anywhere from the Family of Islands, 242-300-5720. Or hit me up, 422-4796. Call on the line. Go ahead. Call on the line. Go ahead.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you doing today?
I'm fantastic.
Wonderful. I just want to recognize Mr. Griffin and the work that he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
I heard him at the function that the National Tripartite Council had, and I was so impressed with the initiatives that he's pursuing. And so I just want to encourage him and to say that should he be able to get those things working, the Bahamian people can be much, much better off for it. And so I just want to thank him for that work. Now, as relate to Mr. Randy, you know, my name is Rock Morris. And to hear you say that CPC is now now known because of your initiative, it's disingenuous. It's not true. You're not being truthful.
Now, hold on. They're not in the studio with me. So I took your call, but they stepped out. They only had an hour with me. But go ahead and say what you had to say.
Okay, well, I will leave that there then. That's okay. Really great the way that Senator Barry is doing.
Okay. Thank you, man. I do appreciate your telephone call. I'm sure he didn't mean to squash or kind of diminish the work that has been done prior. But it's important for every division. I can't be here talking for them, but I know that every division and every dispensation requires amplification for what every generation who's just stepping in may not necessarily know what have been done in yesteryear. But that's the responsibility of those persons in the seat. You have to stand on the shoulders of men and women of yesteryear who've been doing this work and sort of being able to give acknowledgement, sort of a curtsy to them and continue in the work that you're doing because you're not isolated. These things ain't done in isolation. It's done with a collaborative throughout ages to be able to see the country in a better position for growth and development. So I'm always grateful to kind of do that. Let me see if I can take a next call. Call on the line. Go ahead.
Hey, Howard.
Hey, my dear. What's up?
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Listen, I wanted to ask those guys if meat is included in this slush lap that they're talking about. Because he said frozen food is not included, right?
Mm-hmm. No, well, the first thing in all the examples that he gives is meat. So I assume, and I would assume, that meat's in that. It's definitely food. It's a major. We consume that on a day-to-day basis. So we would need that to be done.
What do you mean by frozen food is not included?
No, I suppose. Well, I suppose that he means preservatives, like the strawberries. I don't know. I don't know these things like that. I'll have to call him to get clarification on that before I answer. But I'll call him to find out exactly what's up. What's what?
Okay, because I mean, for me, it ain't really make much of a. I don't see it making much of a difference on my pocket. I know a few cents here or there, but man. These behemoths, we don't count in cents, we count in dollars.
The government said that they will lose $30 million, that they will lose $30 million, I think that's a strong way to say it, that they will lose $30 million in the revenue due to VAT food cut. I think that's a funny way to say it. You're not going to lose anything if the money stays with the Bahamian people. It's still going to end up in your pocket one way or another.
If they're already counting what they're going to lose in VAT revenue, I feel like at the end of the day, this ain't a lot because they're not going to take that loss forever.
Well,
somewhere across the board, we're going to, I mean, we're already doubling this, whatever the savings they think we're saving is already going to rent and everything else. How are they going to sustain this? It's what I would like to see, unless they just throw this out there. As a part of their strategy, political strategy. You understand?
For me,
for the upcoming campaign.
For me, if you listen to Senator Randy, and he started to say about being able to go to the family violence and being able to have conversations and educate people and so forth and so on, that means that they have created a board. They have created a committee to be able to identify these things. And from you create a committee, and then you got to go identify these people, then you got to educate, then you got to have town hall meetings. This here, you may not necessarily feel the effects after the next general election, 12 to 18 months. And that's why I asked, is it too little, too late? I'm not trying to diminish what they're doing. I'm only asking a question.
No, you can't diminish what they're doing, but at the end of the day, at the time that it's coming, It stands out like a sore thumb as a part of their political ploy, and I feel like like when it's like a dead fish floating.
Mm.
That's how I see it, because this ain't gonna make much a difference. If he had stepped up and taken VAT off of bread basket items, or taken that of a medication or certain medication, you know, those things would have made the Bahamian people feel a bit more important. Feel like he's actually looking out for us or beginning to look out for us after 10 years. But at the end of the day, you know, he could save funds also by cutting down the amount of people that traveled or travels with him.
Wow.
on any given day.
Wow. Well, I appreciate
all of that is a part of the savings.
Yeah, I agree with what you're saying. I appreciate your telephone call, my dear. Thank you so very kindly for being able to call in and do that. But I think that the PLP started off, you know, I'll Grammy them and say, your foot too short, like you just miss it. I feel like from an economic standpoint, as it relates to being able to give the Bahamian people that we are on your part, that we are on your side, that we're going to be able to produce these things, that I feel like they have started off on not necessarily the good foot, quote unquote, right? The reduction in VAT by 2%, whilst it was an alleviant to the minds of a lot of us as Bahamian people, the government has a responsibility for figuring out how they can be able to deal with this shortfall. They have to figure this out. They have to figure out. And so we saw the enforcement of a lot of things, the enforcement of these particular spaces. Very aggressive in some spaces, very aggressive. We saw the enforcement of those particular things. And so now with the reduction and for the language that we're seeing the Minister of State take for finance to say that the government would lose $30 million in revenue, it says to me that all the money that you're paying consultants, you don't even know the initiatives that you present to the Bahamian people, how to articulate it. You're not going to say that you're going to lose $30 million. You're going to say you've given the Bahamian people an opportunity over the next course from April to whenever, to be able to retain $30 million and reinvest it into other spaces. Simultaneously add something to that. You gotta think about this, man. You can't put all your thought into COP 26, 7, 8, 9, 38, 55. You can't put all the effort and emphasis into development of concepts and ideas that's external. The Bahamian people are in dire need for a savior. Can I say that? Is it okay for me to structure it like that? It's very simple. They are looking for an alleviant. They need help. Like Kevin Hart say, help me. Help me. We need help. We need help. And you need to know that when you make this decision, it's not campaigning. This ain't no campaign. This reduction on food, whether you where we have an election in next year or where we have an election tomorrow, people have to eat. And we don't have opportunities to go elsewhere. There's not a big group of us that actually import our food on a day-to-day basis. That might exist in this country, but not from widespread. We eat here every day. And so it can't be a ploy. And you can't say the government will lose. The government loses nothing. Nothing. You have to put yourself in the position with clarity to say that this is an opportunity for you to retain this particular thing and reinvest it into areas where you could find sustainability and growth for yourself. Think about backyard farming. Think about investing into an Airbnb. Think about this. Think about that. Think about all these things that you could find yourself in this diverse space to be able to make income. I just won't be able to say it like that. Let's see if we can take a next call. Caller, go ahead.
Good evening, sir.
Hey, good evening. How you doing?
You know, when we talk about lowering the cost of living, right? It's not just lowering the cost of food by 5%, you know, and as well as it's not cooked food, you know. And we live in a cooked food society. It's too expensive to cook. You understand me? And many things we buy in the supermarket is not food.
It's so, heavyweight,
As well as, you know, we talk about innovation. You know, it doesn't assist the poor. It hurts the poor, especially in the workplace, you know, because it takes away their labor. It makes their labor obsolete, you see. And government revenue and things, you know, who pays it? You know, we should say the middle class is the most important class because it's them where the load is, but there's no load on the middle class when there's no income tax on the middle class. You know, the rich man, he's not going to get taxed. You know, the tax that he gets, he's going to pass it on. You know, it's 401k, that is not tax. You know, a lot of things that he does is not tax. You see, so we in a mess in this country. The poor man is domed. You know, especially in this era, the Trump era. With, you know, this Trump era. You know, we live in a nation where we don't trade anything. The Bahamas is an import nation. Even the tourism we don't trade. You know, people trade it for us. You know, the proceeds from it.
It's heavy.
We don't see it.
It's heavy.
You know, there's a few dollars under the table, you know what I mean? Crumbs under the table, or on top of the table, wherever. And it doesn't benefit very much. It seems like only the political class, it's, you know, only them could survive. Only them could take a vacation.
Wow.
You know, only them could eat good food. You know, so poor people is in a mess in this country. They're in a mess. And,
man,
you know, I hope the media, would, you know, especially those guys that come on Guardian Radio in the morning, everybody in media needs to take a page out of their book, you know, a Saturday morning group.
Okay.
You see, they're not afraid to speak the truth to power, you know what I'm saying? And I would think that this country, we need talk shows that are not selling us product, that are not surviving off of selling somebody's service. Some bank or some corporation. That's, you know, how could you tell me how to vote then?
But on a podcast, they exist.
Pardon?
On your, those talk shows exist on
no,
a podcast.
No, I don't want to think like with LBC, you know, major talk shows, they don't be selling nothing. Like you go to NBC, you know what I'm saying? And people ain't selling.
I really,
MSNBC, they ain't selling no product.
I assure you, you do not know how that works. They only make money from advertisement. And traditional media, you only make money from advertisement.
For instance, how could you critique the number man when he's you know what I'm saying, when he's spending millions
of
dollars?
What I'm saying to you is that there are spaces that are, but that there are, and I appreciate your telephone call, my brother. Thank you so much. There are spaces that exist in the country. There are spaces that exist right now. There are spaces that you may not necessarily go to. You could turn on these fellas' YouTube page and they're talking about what needs to happen in the country and they got 10 views. 10 views! And no one's giving them finances to ensure that they could be able to. I think sometimes when we look at what people do, we never take into account what it costs to get for them to get that thing done. And I'm not saying or trying to justify what you perceive as people selling out. But there needs to be support to be able to create a platform. It should be decent with you. And another thing that you said that I want to be able to touch before I go to this telephone line is that it hurts the poor. With 400,000 people, 300,000 people moving to Nassau over the past, I don't know, maybe 20 years, we had 50 to 100,000 people move here to Nassau. Because it was like we were teetering around the 200 and some. And so now it's 300 strong that live here in the city of Nassau. If you're smart enough to move to Nassau, it says to me that you're smart enough to recognize that there aren't finances there and you have to plan ahead. Every one of us have a smartphone. Every single one of us have a smartphone. There is an opportunity for you to understand how to diversify your portfolio, how to make money outside of the norm of what you've done, and prepare yourself for what's to come. The government cannot save you. You're looking for a savior, but the government cannot save you. You have the responsibility of being able to be proactive as the head and the provider in your space. The poor will always be amongst us, don't necessarily have to apply to you. Then whatever they design for you, you have to be able to eat that. Whatever they construct for you, you have to be able to eat that. We have to liberate ourselves from the thinking that someone have to give us something. This is not who we are. This is not where we come from as a nation. When we continue to be able to talk about our humble beginnings as a small fishing village, we were a family, a unit, and we were taking care of each other. We understood that. Whether it was ASU, whether it was bartering, whether it was trust. And people give you something, and you could survive in this kind of a space. But you rejected that. Rejected this idea and cling to this concept of capitalism. And gone closer to colonialism. and you're trying to figure out what happened to the people who you asked them to introduce these things for. Come on, let's just talk, man. Let's be real with this. Let's be real with this. Don't pretend with this. Be real. You asked for this. You thought that this polished approach to life, this formality, the rhythm of how things have done out of Europe, out of America, is how you wanted things to be done here. It happened. Now you can't. And nobody checking for you. You've lost community. One more call before the call, before the break. Caller, go ahead.
Hey, Howard.
Hey.
How you doing, man? You know, we had a good talk on Saturday to that place in Jamaica Road, that coffee shop.
Yes. What's happening,
man,
with you?
Listen, this government playing politics with the Bahamian people, man.
Okay,
and
talk
the
Bahamian
people really fed up. We can't go to another 5 years with this situation with Davis administration. Mm-hmm. How could the prime minister come on national television, make a remark, and then turn around, Junior come behind him, that's the state minister of finance, come with a different story? So who to believe inside this issue?
They often do that. I think that that's happened over the past 3 years, some in this administration. The prime minister say something, somebody come and fix it, the prime minister come back and fix it again.
But if he's the head, so how to tell that number with something to one body?
I don't know. What specifically are you talking about, more specifically for everybody out there listening?
We are fed up with this government, and it's time for brave and this administration got to go. Because the people I just listen to on Facebook, them telling the people inside Spanish Well, no water for 3 days. What Clay Sweeten doing?
Mm.
He's sitting up in office switching fingers, and these people are catching the eternal hell around you, and they come around people else talking with get them a vote and give them a next chance to straighten the country in 5 years.
Mm.
If they can't do it in this term, what do you think they'll do in the next term, Howard?
Well, I don't have no idea, but I don't know if they play in politics with it. I don't know if they play in politics with it. That's why I asked. If it's too little, too late. I appreciate your telephone call, my brother. Thank you so very kindly for that. Guys, let me take this quick commercial break and be right back after this.
Foundation.
The Foundation with Howard Grant. We'll be back right after this.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
It's time to upgrade the way you enjoy at-home entertainment. Alive Fiber is here. Enjoy all your favorite channels and streaming apps, all at lightning-fast internet speeds with affordable bundles, and it's only a click away. Visit www.alivefiber.com to sign up now. Stay connected. It's good to be alive.
Girl, you see how Cora eye look funny, all black up yesterday?
But she say she bump into a wall when she's running after the churn them.
Yeah, but all black and blue, right?
What you saying? You think something wrong between her and Jack?
I ain't sure, but you know Jack is a jealous man. I hear him and Cora last Friday. I hear him say he hear Cora have eyes for Junior.
Now you know that ain't true. Cora is a good woman, does mind her business, take care of them churn and go to church every Sunday. So what you think we should do?
I think we should report Jack, you know. Cora don't say nothing, but silence hides violence. And we don't want to line up in the cemetery.
Not me. I ain't getting in nobody business. Then Jack come after me and I land up next to Cora.
No, man, we could call a text Crime Stopper. And remember, we can even get some grocery money for our tip.
Remind me again how this work.
We can call them in Miami at 328-TIPS or 328-8477. Or when we in the island, call toll-free at 300-TIPS or 300-8477. And if you don't have no minutes, use the Crack Crime Bahamas app and we could text them. And the messages get on mix-up before it leave your phone so nobody can know what you say.
So what are we waiting on then? Let's go earn some grocery money.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Foundation.
Foundation. The Foundation. The Foundation.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, here live and in full effect. If you want to join me in conversation, let's do so. There's a lot of things at the table right now for us to be able to deal with these. And I want to talk about this, man. I want to talk with clarity about these particular things. 323-6232-325-4316-325-4259. Anywhere from the family of violence, 242-300-5720. Or hit me up 424-7796. The Prime Minister is in this, really in here in the papers today and being able to take on these things and really they're putting work against them. And man, you're my God. See, sir, two calls back. Sir, I need you to understand. On traditional radio, there's some things that we are afforded an opportunity to be able to say. Not because we are offending anybody, but there are rules and regulations that govern this space that we're in. This is traditional radio. Wherever you go, whatever country you're in, you have a responsibility and obligation. When you're here and you're speaking into masses of people, that you're responsible and you're calculated. Sometimes you can be thought-provoking. Sometimes you can be able to push the envelope and come to the edge, but you still have to because you don't want to get sued. You don't want to get sued about these things. But I need to say this to you. There is a calculated, concerted effort against the PLP. And I'm not talking just from the FNM. In fact, you could exclude the FNM entirely. Entirely. You could take them out of the picture. They're non-existent as it relates to the concerted effort, the calculated effort to be able to reduce this political organization to rubble. Now, this ain't, I'm not a proponent, nor am I a detractor. I'm here as an observer. As I'm looking at this, the TUC union to strike, two-day action, it starts today, right? Now, I heard some people are on strike, but I don't know whether or not it's mass the way that the implications came across yesterday. The government has taken significant steps in terms of being able to safeguard their particular, I read something this morning about the Ministry of Education and Technical Vocation being able to take significant steps to ensure that they have a contingency plan to take care of the students. And if anything happens after that, they could be able to go forward. I read this letter this morning. I'm going to be able to read this to you now. All right, just a little piece of this, right? It was sent out, I think, last evening by Fred Mitchell. Right? So we just be able to see this. This is the minister from the Prime Minister, Fred Mitchell said, on threatened industrial action. Right? He says, I cannot let this evening go by without addressing the threatened unlawful industrial action announced by the leader of the Bahamas Trade Union Congress, O.B. Ferguson. He is an attorney and should well know about the good faith and law conduct. This is heavy. This is heavy. When I got to good faith, I couldn't move past that. This is Howard Grant. I talking now. When I got to the juncture where the Prime Minister indicated that this lawyer should operate in good faith, then he goes on to say this. Let me tell you why I say the good faith. Then he goes on to say this, right? He goes on to say that the publicly proposed action is therefore surprising. That's the second thing that popped out to me. It's surprising. Seems to me that in the face of this threat to break the law, the government must act. The Prime Minister was very strategic in this first sentence. Then he goes on, he says, I appeal to the members of the trade union and to the leaders that look at the facts. There is no issue that cannot be discussed and has not been discussed. You know that I have had an open door. And the door remains open. It is curious, the Prime Minister goes on again, it is curious to me that after days of trying to reach Mr. Ferguson, by phone, that his apparent refusal to answer his phone, he now publishes a voice note saying with the untruth that my government has not sought to resolve problems. In fact,
My diary shows, this is heavy. This is heavy. I need y'all to read. Just go with me in Howard Grant's mind and let's travel through this little piece of letter. In fact, in my diary shows that he had agreed to a meeting tomorrow, which is today, at 2 p.m. So is it not in bad faith to agree to meet, then tell his members to go on strike? I am not standing on a ceremony, though. I am a prime minister that wants to resolve problems. But my concern is for the well-being of the nation. The questions one must ask is why would the head of the TUC want to inflict harm on the nation when the problems can be solved by discussions and not an unlawful strike? You know why? Because this is not foreign to, he's done this with you already. He's done this with you already. I don't know what y'all expect. I don't understand people who does marry. I just want to be decent with you as I structure this. I don't understand people. If the principle of sweethearting exists in the woman and you marry her after marrying, what make you think that she loosed the sweethearting? It was just, she only sweethearted for you. That's it. You was a whole married man. And she loosed this action, this concept and idea of being able to disrupt a union simply because now you decide to get married to her. Let me break these things down. The union was already in the mindset to reject a government by being able to forge relationship with the incoming government based upon the rhythm of what's happening in this nation. Oh God, y'all don't want to have this conversation with me, you know. The rhythm, this, the CMTUC, that when you were the royal opposition of this country that signed an agreement with you, and now it's time for another transition. They're finding themselves on a cart that pays. And when I mean pay, I don't mean financially. I mean in terms of execution to get to their objective. This is the rhythm that they've shown us. This is the leadership of a rhythm that they've shown us. Can anything be different, man? Listen, there exist issues way back from 1964. Way back. They didn't shut down the bridge. They didn't have a riot. They didn't find ourselves liberated. All these things has happened. And the issues persist. Shutting down for 2 days ain't gonna change nothing in this country. Especially without a conversation. The government is Howard Grant now. I ain't in the government. But I know one thing. You should not negotiate with terrorists. Anyway, let's go ahead. Let me take a telephone call. Call on the line. Go ahead.
Yeah, Howard.
Hey, what's up, Anton?
Man, what's going on?
Everything good, man. What's happening?
Just following the noise. You can hear my background.
I can hear you, though. Go ahead.
All right, cool. Man, I haven't had to get back in place good. I listening to all this crap when people just spewing across the airwaves. Let me just quickly, before I get on board, just quickly make a few points out. Most persons in this country, especially those of bad mindset, most persons of this country are playing the political game and desperation to try and overthrow a very positive and solid movement that is taking place in this country. Should remember, back in 2021, when we had election, mm-hmm. The debt in this country, the debt to GDP, Howard, mm-hmm. was over 100%, was over 100 penny, and then some for the government to borrow in this country was going towards debt servicing, Howard. The government, in just 3 short years, Howard, have reduced the debt to GDP to around mid-70s, 74, 75, 76%, Howard. In just 3 short years, which has afforded the government of the Bahamas through proper financial management to afford Bahamians a massive savings. And the thing that is hurting Bahamians a great deal at the food stores, the government has reduced the VAT by 50%. How would I hear it, Paul? Downplay that very serious, powerful, and extremely important move. What they have to understand is this, Howard. When the FNM came to power, they increased back by 60% to that increase hours. While there may have been 22 items, 22 bread basket items to be precise, that didn't attract back, along with perhaps another 5 to 10 items outside of the bread basket items, every other item in this country, every other item of the hundreds of items in the food store, not only in the food store, but every service in this country, every product in this country outside of the food store. This box wasn't just limited to the food store. The increase by 60% turned the huge right across the board. People don't understand unless they are in a position like you were maybe a year or two ago trying to get a home. Just how much that increased hurt the humans. Just how far back that set the humans, Howard. When you got to go to the lawyer, when you got to pay your government stamp tax, right? When you got to pay for the expenses and fees, Howard. When you got to go try to get a vehicle for your family, when you got to go try to get a room for your family, Howard. When you got to try to borrow money to pay school fees, college fees, et cetera, in this country, Howard. A great deal has been done, a great deal. And you know I'm one who's not afraid to be critical of my government that I support my entire life.
Yeah, but this is concentrate on food now.
Pardon me?
This is concentrate for the most part for as April 1st on food now. And we'd like to see whether or not this is expanding.
Say that part again. This is concentrate.
On food in the food stores in terms of the reduction of food on the food stores as of April 1st.
No, Howard, that's where you're wrong. See, yeah, listen. Remember, Dr. Sines had the talk in his mouth. It was only talk when he was the Minister of Health that we needed to include fruits and vegetables in the bread basket item in order to bring down the cost so that the humans can afford to buy healthy products.
I remember.
To improve health inequity that is worse than every other Caribbean island.
I remember.
And where our health status as it relates to obesity and cancer is around third globally.
Yes.
You remember that, Howard?
I remember him saying this, yes.
And he did not do anything. Nor did the minister-led administration or cabinet did anything to improve that scenario. Mm-hmm. There was a massive march with close to 3,000 people who told Dr. Sines and Dr. Minnis, keep your corned beef. Philip mm-hmm. Ray Davis and his cabinet, along with his minister of health, Dr. Davil, they have done the necessary heavy lifting. They have included the reduction of fruits and vegetables, which are extremely expensive, Albert, if you are into healthy living. And I hear you talk about healthy living constantly on the show. I hear you talk about trying to exercise. I hear you talk about trying to eat right. Howard, food product in the store, every food product except for those at the deli. When I say the deli, I mean people going to the food store to buy cooked food. But people who enter healthy living, they cook in their food. They want to know what's going in their pot. Howard, they cannot afford to buy the expensive products off of the food store shelves. Because they are priced out of the reach of middle class, average, and everyday working class people.
So 5%. But see what I said on Thursday, Anton, and I got my lines a little right up, so I can need you to wrap up.
Yeah, I want to make one more point for you. Let me go.
But what I said on Thursday was that I see this prime minister empathizing with the Bahamian people and taking a step in the right direction.
Could you talk up a little louder, please?
You can't hear me, Anton?
I can hear you a little better now.
No, I said that I saw that the prime minister, when I said on Thursday, that the prime minister has empathized with the Bahamian people and took a step in the right direction. Mm. I couldn't fight him for that. I can't fight him for that. I thought it was a step in the right direction. That some people would say too little, too late. Some people are not necessarily being able to look what's in front of us right now. Now, we are in an election year. I don't care what nobody say.
Listen, Howard, those people who are saying, why didn't the Prime Minister Davis, why didn't Minister of Economic Affairs Al Peters, why didn't the Financial Secretary Simon Wilson, why didn't the Cabinet go further and give the full break? Those are the people who had us on the brink of financial collapse and ruin in this country. Wow. Those are the people, Howard, who had GDP, that's the GDP, over 100%.
Wow.
They don't want to hear nothing from them kind of people. Because they had this country going towards ruins financially. Howard, you were sitting in an important position as a host of a show that is very popular in the country. Therefore, you have the supreme responsibility to educate and edify yourself so that you can bring the knowledge to the Bahamian people
to help them to understand just how important and how big a move those pronouncements were. And limited to the reduction of that by 50% in the food stores that the prime minister is moving towards, anti-competition laws, which will further empower behemoths and put information in the hands of behemoths real time. That will empower them to know what food store, what shop they can go to get the best buys and the best products. The prime minister is looking to open up 15 lanes. So that's one of the ways to reduce the cost overall. Because as a small, highly developing state, we import 97-98% of what we use. And shipping cost is a major factor. The prime minister is looking to open additional shipping.
I like this, Anton.
So that we can reduce the bottom hour.
I appreciate it. I like what you're saying. I like the direction that you're taking. And I won't throw no thingam at you, but I feel as though I was waiting for this. I know that there was a pronouncement that the chairman said, get on board. The chairman said, get on board. And I want to commend you for being able to take a strong position. I know that you were.
Let me just say this 2 seconds.
Go ahead.
Listen, man. The behemoth people have to remember, we all have to live in this country. Whether you are CLT, whether you are FN, whether you are COI, whether you are former DNA, whether you are apolitical, to get to the GDP to get from over 100% to under 80% in just 3 short years from stabilized NIB power to attack food reduction, food cost reduction in this country, to attack electricity cost reduction in this country. Howard, this government is doing some good stuff. Now, listen, don't get me wrong. We still have a lot of work to do, but you got to acknowledge right where right is and what doesn't.
Thank you, man. I do appreciate your telephone call. Quick break. Going to be right back after this.
The foundation.
The foundation. We'll be back right after this.
The foundation. The foundation.
Attention, Marco's Pizza lovers in Freeport and to our Cable Beach customers. We have heard you. Marco's $10 carryout, one large, one topping pizza is now available at all locations. That's right. Whether you live out east, west, central, south, or in Freeport, Marco's has you covered. Call in or order online and pick up in restaurant today. Marco's is getting better by the moment. This unbeatable deal is available for a limited time only.
Always on the go? Missed a show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
On Saturday, February 22nd, 2025 at 7 p.m., the Bahamar Convention Center will set the stage for an unforgettable celebration of 25 years of giving back and supporting healthcare education in the Bahamas. Experience a night of excitement with exquisite fine dining, captivating live entertainment, and an inspiring atmosphere as we come together to celebrate and shape a brighter, healthier future. Tickets are available now. Reserve your spot today by emailing dhfoundation@doctorshosp.com or calling 242-302-4640. Sponsorship opportunities are also available to show your support for this important cause. The Doctors Hospital Meyer is transforming healthcare and building a legacy. Don't miss this special celebration.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Foundation.
And we're back. I see the lines lit up. Let me just be able to read this quick text. This is a good day. Are you calling the unions terrorists? Being a former member of the BDU, I would say that's crazy. Was it a mistake to get into bed with the politics with
the memorandum of understanding? Yes, definitely. But at the end of the day, labor is why we are an independent nation today. I agree with the latter part of what you're saying, but let's get to the top of this. Am I calling am I calling unions terrorists? This has nothing to do with the concept and idea that governs the TUC. We're talking about Obie Ferguson being able to take this particular thing and lead the body into make an agreement with the quote-unquote incoming government or the government in waiting and saying this is our expectations when you get in there. Totally rejecting the government of the day and not necessarily, even if you didn't see any action, didn't have the patience to be able to see you moving in this direction. Simultaneously saying to the Bahamian people, our support lies with the incoming government, let's reject. Because that's a language that's being spoken at this particular point. I don't know why we just play oblivious to these particular things. Pick this thing and pull it apart. This is what's happening. You like to tell me about education and education of the Bahamian people and them not understanding, but they know what they see. They know they see you reject the Free National Movement and being able to forge a relationship with the PLP who wasn't even in yet. They know they see that. And notice how I said the Free National Movement and the PLP, not the government of the day. And it seems as though that this is what's getting geared up to happen right now. That's all I'm saying. And I wouldn't be surprised if it happened because it's happened already. And if this is the rhythm that you seek to move towards, this is what you want to do, this cannot work. The union should be independent. The union should celebrate this independence. The union should find their strength again to have governments run into them and say, what can we do to make modifications? As opposed to being able to grovel and say, sign this and get our support. You need to stop. You need to stop. And that's what I'm indicating. This form of action at this particular time, save all the tribulation that exists, that continues to exist, that after Ferguson finds himself transitioned from this position and someone else sits in the seat, there will be issues in this country. There is a way to approach this. That's all I'm saying. There is a way to approach this. And I'm not talking about the action that is going on today. I'm talking about what we've seen in the past and what we anticipate as what we could see into the future. Let's just be transparent. I'm not calling the unions terrorists. The unions had no teeth for a long time in this country. When you sit out on the grass and couldn't get to Malia Hotel. Come on, man, let's talk. Don't pretend with me. I'm right here. And let foreigners come into the country and where you had access to, you couldn't do nothing. Nothing. Now, all of a sudden, you want to threaten the government with these particular things and waive your union, the membership. Man, come on, let's be real, man. Let's talk. I'm supporting no PLP or nothing. All I said, and I've said it from the inception, this agreement that the TUC and Obie Ferguson signed with the PLP was wrong. And you are now all the chickens coming home to roost with this. So you can scorch earth to be able to rectify this issue. You can't. You can't. Let me take a call. Caller, go ahead. Go ahead, caller. Next call. Caller, go ahead.
Yes, hey, Howard, how are you doing?
What's up, C. Allen?
Yeah, let me just tell Antoine that Bart was the first child of the PLP. Because of their lazy economics and the promises made for that has yet to be fulfilled.
That's ingenuous. That's disingenuous, and you know that.
Which means
that's disingenuous. The introduction of a concept that was a mandate based upon what was happening not just locally within our country, but regionally, and our expectations.
I'm answering in the context of Anton. I understand economics.
Okay, go ahead.
No, that's what I'm saying. I'm answering in his context, because, mm-hmm. right? Gaslighting was a word first introduced in 1944,
mm-hmm.
but it wasn't until the PLP was elected that gaslighting became Merriam-Webster Word of the Year in 2022. Okay, so it might be coincident that the PLP was elected and the word gaslighting became Word of the Year, but it seems to be that that's what they try to do to us. Like the guy called you, asked the question.
Mm-hmm.
The Prime Minister go read his speech. He says all food, and he was very specific. And then comes the junior minister who says, no, not all food. Some food, we're going to give you a list and this and all of these different things. And this has been a mantra.
Yes, over the past 3 years. Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
So what happens, though, is that they're trying to sell us that the 5% on food is the solution to the cost of living. Now, check this out. At the same time, you have a minister who's screaming, oh, they have transfer pricing. That's the legal term for it. And but they adjust the price. Okay, good. What happens then is I see the potential for profit, right? Forget the fact that the electricity is going up and water's going up and all these things going up that is going to be incorporated into the food, right? Because inflation is growing at 2% or more, and the economy is growing by 1.5%. So you have the transfer pricing. That means then technically we will see no in food. So at the same time, our energy costs are going up. Our other costs of living, school fees, everything else, the other foods that we need to eat with these other things are going up, right? So the cost of living is not exclusively food. And the prime minister himself understanding the economics of 2% versus 1.5% growth. But even though the economy is growing 1.5% growth, the unions are telling you that they haven't seen any growth in their paychecks, right? That isn't it a gauge of the economy? They haven't seen it for years, some of them for decades.
Yeah.
This doesn't balance right. This is called gaslighting, okay? I don't know if it's public relations or gaslighting. But Howard, let's go back to the union. The union, them haven't taken a strike. You know, if you listen to what is being said, they are taking 2 days off, which they are entitled to. That's not a strike yet, okay? Secondly, the three umbrella unions, two of them said, which is not a strike because they understand why the two. They may have joined them in a strike, but they're not joining them in this 2 day sick day that they're entitled to.
Mm-hmm.
The question is, what does the NTUC, and I forget the one headed by Belinda Wilson, is thinking?
BUT.
This is not over yet because the government made a lot of promises and it's not fulfilled. It. Anton says, oh, the PLP has recovered. Listen to me, man. If we had put...
Hold on, but I just want to stick a pin right there very quickly.
Yeah.
The last time we saw Fred Mitchell on television, he has said emphatically to all PLPs, to get on board, no matter if you're indifferent, no matter, and that's what I started to say
to
Anton.
Deal with an internal fight. Right. Seven different factions fighting for leadership right. To replace the outgoing prime minister.
Yeah, but I like the fact that the PLPs could fall in line when they say, let's do it.
They're not going to fall in line. No.
Yeah,
they
man.
Already know.
From this, here, Anton me. Take on this position, these people.
No. Understand this. This is where ambition exceeds ability among a whole bunch of PLPs. They are so engrossed with their illusion of perfection that they don't even see themselves doing anything wrong. And so now you have, they do see.
But this is only from the elevated. This is only from the elevated set.
No. But this is what I'm saying to you. But this is the see. Listen to me. PLPs are hurting more than anyone else because they haven't. You know what I mean? It isn't the fact that they grew up. They had an expectation, hope deferred. Oh, that's a nasty thing. Okay.
Is hope denied?
So, but this, I'm saying to you is that they had hope, and that's been deferred. And so essentially, the chairman is saying, soon, very soon, next 5 years for you. Remember, you heard that before, right?
For Menace, the same FNM party that you support now. I got to go. It's 2 o'clock, CA. It's 2 o'clock. I want to thank you guys so very kindly for being able to do that. One thing I know about the PLP, right? The PLP mean people. And so however you find this, if they say hope deferred, you know what they can tell you? You know they can find a biblical scripture to be able to hit you with. Huh? All right. Praise God. Let's be decent about these particular things. Guys, let's be able to have a good conversation tomorrow. We're going to continue with our series. There's a lot of things happening. There's a lot of things coming to the forefront. I'm grateful to be able to have these conversations. We're going to see you tomorrow right here. God spare our lives right here on The Foundation. Have a great guy. Great day, guys.